great to be in the presence of our Lord and to enjoy worshiping and singing to Him. And now in this moment, we come with our hearts focused to hear what He would say to us. That's amazing when you think of it, that to this room and all the churches across the world, even on this day, God is engaging with people one-on-one, and He's looking to do it again. So we talked last week about being on a journey, and we sort of launched off. We realized we've come out of Egypt, as we illustrated. We've come through salvation, that we are placed on this new road that God has for us. And now that as a Christian, what's next? What happens? Where do I go? What do I do? What will the life be like on the journey? Well, some of us may go to age 95, and some will finish out at age 64, or sometimes even younger than that. We don't know. There may be great health. There may be various illnesses in the life of Christians. There may be, like the disciples themselves, a bunch of them were martyred, but John seemed to live to a long old age. Isaiah, he preached, and the message was resisted, and Jonah, he preached, and the people repented. Job lost everything he had. Solomon gained everything. So you see, when you look through and you study out the rest of the Bible, that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean it guarantees that everything's going to turn out perfect and good. Sometimes we wonder why. And we come back to the faith. What we talk about is that our journey takes us down different roads for different purposes that God has engaged in our lives. Now, Israel left Egypt, and as they're going out, we know the rest of the story because we've had a chance to read it historically. But to the people of Israel, as they're leaving the city limits of Egypt, have no idea really what's going to happen next. When you see 3 million people moving, that would be quite a picture, wouldn't it, if you could be on a hillside watching 3 million people walking? What will be the provision? How are we going to take care of all these people as we go? What direction will we go? We come up against the Red Sea. There will be they didn't know there would be a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud that would guide them along the way. They did not know they would need protection because they did not know the Egyptian army would pursue them and then they would potentially be killed. They did not know of the victory that they would gain over the Amalekites and the king of Og and Sion, historical kings of that region that they had to go into battle with, and God helped them win the battle. And yet they would not know how they would fail God, and God would be upset, how they, because of their rebellion, there would be plague or punishment. They did not know that they would miss their key opportunity and end up going for wandering in the wilderness for 40 years after that. You see, we don't know what's all ahead of us, but we do know this, that is, if we will engage with God, He will go with us. And that makes a difference. There's a lot of people in this world who have not connected with God, who are not interested in God, and they do life on their own. And life can go along fine, but it has its ups and its downs. But there's a part where God working with us enables us to keep going and at times find strength that our world does not have. We don't know what's going to be ahead. Will the Lord give us another 50 to 100 years? Or what if, and sometimes it stirs in my heart, what if in the next 5 to 10 years, the tribulation period would begin, and after 7 years, Jesus Christ would come back? We never know what that means. In the meantime, there's piles of challenges, whether you're a child or a senior or anything in between. Our journey will have all its various parts. There'll be its hills, its valleys, its tight corners, its long straightaways. We will deal with fears, we will deal with stress, we will have a bunch of unknown things, so we may worry, we may have marriages that go up and down, we may have kids that push back or make bad choices, we may have changes in our health suddenly, we may have changes in our economic and job situations, we may feel out of control even in the midst of acts of nature, of earthquakes, fires, flooding, hurricanes, tornadoes, terrorism, nuclear war, end of the world, global warming, and asteroids. Feel good? What's going to happen with all of that stuff? Where do we go? How do you begin to just deal with it? If you're on your own, you're on your own. But actually what we're talking about and why you're here today is because we know we're not alone. Through faith in Jesus Christ, God connects with us. But we still have the process of making decisions of which way to go and for what will be the best way to go. But in the middle of this, we can't know the whole journey. And God has sort of put it that way, and it's probably as good, because if there was parts of our journey we saw were coming, we'd probably say, Lord, can you change that? I don't think I want that part, okay? And there may be some reason or purpose in that part that is very big that we don't understand. God knows the journey, and he reveals it as we go. I'd like to illustrate a little bit of the journey with a couple of pictures this morning. The first is there is a similar road for all of us that God revealed, and that is the will of God, and it's found in the Bible. So in other words, there is part of the journey that God has already said, this is a whole bunch of it. Grab a hold of it, read it, understand it, and you'll understand the journey. And I'd like to make the comparison to a highway, as you see the picture. I think it's just perfect that it says, just passing through. That is really a summary of us as Christians. This is not the end. We're just passing through. It's a freeway, and it's going somewhere on that journey. I like the fact that the messages on it are English. When I first looked up some things on Google, I found a bunch of great-looking signs. I looked up, and I think it was Croatian or something like that. I thought, that's not going to mean anything to the people in the morning. But we know wherever you go in the world, you'll find signs, and they will be related to the language. So the message is always clear in those contexts. And I believe God is always making his message clear to whatever language, whatever culture you are from. He wants you to understand the Word of God in ways that relate to you. If you look at that picture, and we'll stay here for a little while, on your left-hand side, there's a concrete barrier. And that concrete barrier is really saying, do not cross this or you die. Because usually it's the center of the highway where you're going this way at 100 kilometers an hour. On the other side, someone's doing 100 kilometers an hour. If you cross that and you meet head on, more than likely someone is going to die or be seriously hurt. So there's parts of the Word of God that basically says, don't do it, it's going to cost you your life. Now you can play with that. And you may hurt yourself, and you may take somebody else down with you, especially if they're in the car with you. The other side of the rail, you see there's a guardrail, and that's not as intense as the concrete barrier. And usually it means, well, you don't want to go over there because there's something that could be bad for you. It could slow you down, it could danger, it could hurt you, damage your vehicle, you could get delayed, get stuck, whatever. It could be very costly to get you out of that. And so with that, you have the potential of hitting into that and staying, but crossing it and costing you. Middle, you see there's various lane choices. And there's shoulders to give you some margin so that you can sort of make your way along and you don't just totally collapse in the moment if you just sort of stepped a little bit over the line. But there's choices. You have freedom. You can stay in that fast lane or you can stay in the slow lane. You can enjoy sort of moving along at your own pace. You see in the side, there's actually lights. So when it gets dark, you're going to see that part of the highway a little better. The Word of God is light so that when we hit the darkness, we can find our way. And there's a place where you can pull off, here to stay, Goldsville. I like that sign. But you can pull off the highway. You can find a place to food, to rest, and then get back on your journey. A bunch of us have probably somewhere crossed the border and gone on I-5, and you can take I-5 from the Canadian border all the way down to the Mexican border. And it's a long journey, but you know that if you get on that, it's probably your quickest route, your freest route, most direct route to getting to that other part of the world. I believe that this Word of God is the quickest way to our destination and the freest way. Now, though you may be on that highway or freeway, there are still other rules of the road that you've got to follow, and there's more in here that will guide you in that as well. And there'll be great miles, lots to see, pleasant things. Sometimes the days may be long, but you'll know this, you are advancing towards your destination if it was the Mexican border for some reason. So basically there is the will of God, which is this, which means that if we are all on the road, it's basically common. It's a large road, and we're all on this together in Christ, and we're going in the same direction. But there's another part to our life, and that is what I would like to illustrate by using it as a path. There is your path discovered as God leads. And so with that, here's the picture of a trail. Trails, of course, are not as defined, but they are still beautiful to go through. The edges of them at times may be a little bit more crumbling, so if you step off to the edge of it, they may give way and you'll be unstable. So if you stay to the middle of your path, you're going to be more confident as you walk. It may not be clearly as marked, but there is an evidence that there is a path and a trail to follow on. It might be a little bit more of finding your way, but there are signs, as you can see on that one post, and there's that orange marker on the tree to just confirm that you are on the right path as you go. And there are options, and there are shortcuts, but you can still know you're on the way. And that, I believe, relates to your path that is unique to you. There are places where God gives you some options as you go through life. Now, when you're going on some of these trails, you can sort of see it. You come along, and there's a tree right in the middle of the trail, and you'll see that some people have gone to the left, and some have gone to the right. Sometimes it'll go for quite a ways, and then you can see up ahead it merges once again. So you know you're on the path, but you have the option of going left or right, and you're still going to be okay. I believe the Word of God brings it to you in the same way. There's parts of your life where there are options. You can go left, and you can go right. And it's not going to take you off your ultimate journey. Now, if you go to Shannon Falls and you want to get up to the place where you look at the base of the falls, there's sort of like two main routes that you can go. The one on the right is a dirt path that's well-worn, but it goes through the trees and it's very beautiful and the stream is running beside you and there's some stairs and some slopes, but it gets you to your destination. At the same time, there's a path that goes to your left, and I believe it's blacktop, and it's paved, and if you have a wheelchair, it's perfect, and you can just roll right up there. It's a little more gradual slope, and so there's two ways you can go, but they will still take you to the same location. I believe that's part of what God has for us, and the way you understand that is because there's a sign there, I think, if the last I saw, there's a sign that shows the two routes. Well, there's a signs in here. They can tell you at times you can make decisions. You can go left or you can go right. You can take an easy one or a more pathway through the trees, but you can choose. So when it comes down to it, some of these choices, you don't have to make it a big prayer time. I have to decide on the color of socks to put on today. You know, it's not that deep, okay? There's options you can work with. But as you go along on this trail, there's other things that come along on a trail. And those are those side routes that sometimes look better. I was with the men's hike a few weeks back, and it started off really good. We were just rolling along out of the park, and I thought, hey, I can handle this for the day. I didn't know where the trail was going, what it would be like. And as we got going, it sort of made a change. In one section, over about 5 minutes, I think we climbed about 600 feet. So that meant it was no longer this nice little meandering path. And so coming through that, I was definitely a little bit tired and worn on that one, and we came around a corner at one point, and the path took a left and just went up this hill forever. But right there, there's this junction. It went down. I said, hey, I thought, why don't we take this one? This looks much better than that one. Well, reality was, I could take that, but everyone was going that way. That one, if you take it, turns around and goes back to the parking lot. You never reach your it's not going to get you where you want to go. Oh, it looks easy, right? But it looks easy now, but you don't know where it goes up, and it could become narrower, it could be tougher. And sometimes in our journey, in our life, we may go along and we say, you know, this following Jesus thing is getting a little tough right now. And we are prone to pull off to find something that looks easier. And we may choose it, but it may take us from reaching our ultimate destination that we're hoping for in Jesus Christ. And some of those trails you can get off and get lost, but fortunately there was those in our group that knew the way, and so I had to put my trust and follow them, and we trudged on up the hill. Now there's times when even as a child, and sometimes you had kids going, you know what, you will dart off. You're on the journey, but you know, just go over here, and you sort of take off into the trees, and the parents say, come on back, come on back. In the meantime, they're up there playing. Oop, they trip. They scrape their shins. They twist an ankle. They bang their shoulder on a log or their head on a rock. And it's like, okay, we'll continue walking. And now the journey is a little bit tougher on there because you injured yourself. Where if the child would have stayed on the path and enjoyed things at a little bit of a distance, things would have been a little easier to keep going. So we've got these two things. We've got the road, which is ultimately the Word of God, which says this is generally where we're all headed. And then we have the individual paths where you and I, because of the will of God, are going to need to make decisions of whether we go left or right in life. And God will guide us with that. But what we have to come to understand is that God's ways are unique. And in the Israel context, there was all those unknowns. But parts of it, they came along and they wondered, why is this all happening? In fact, when they're in Israel, or when they're in Egypt, and God's dealing with Pharaoh and those 9 to 10 plagues that come into place, basically, why was that all happening? In fact, it says in Exodus chapter 9, verses 14 to 16, it says that God says to Pharaoh, I could have actually wiped you out with one plague and just taken my people and gone. And some of us would say, well, why didn't he? Why go through all that process? Because see, sometimes it's not just the end of the destination, it's the journey along the way. And God has some things in our lives and our journey that we may not understand, we may not even like to go through them, but there's a greater purpose than what we can see. You see, when he was dealing with Pharaoh and the nine plagues, Egypt needed to see that our Lord, he is God. And when he was dealing with the Egyptian people and all that was there, there was some harsh treatment that I believe there was judgment coming on that nation for how they had dealt with Israel. I think there was an error, they were exposing the error of Egypt's beliefs and ways, because it's been said by some of those who have studied it out that those nine plagues actually relate to different deities that were part of Egypt's belief system, and God was showing the futility of each of them. I think it was also motivating God's people to move out because they really liked Goshen. Goshen, remember, was the best land of Egypt. So why should we leave? It's good here. I have a really nice house, a nice job. Why would you want to change anything? God needed to move them out. I believe it showed that God would provide the provision for the traveling. They would see the power of God and be able to trust him. I mean, to take 3 million people and head out into the wilderness, you've got to have some sense of faith. But not faith in nothing, but faith in something. And I believe Israel needed to see and believe. And it says in chapter 10, verse 2, where the people of Israel were to get this. He says, "Know that I am the Lord." I believe all those things had to take place for the people of Israel to come out of, so that basically the people and the world got the picture that God was alive and well and engaging. But what we come to see is that in Isaiah chapter 55, 8, as we go to that portion of Scripture, he says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." You see, we may not understand them, but there's something about what he is doing in our lives, in those experiences, that we can't understand it. I mean, who can counsel God and say, "God, that was wrong, you need to change that"? Romans 11, verse 34 says that doesn't work. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it's the way to death. So you see, we may think we've got this all figured. In fact, there's a bunch of people in our world out there that figured they just don't need God, they don't need Jesus, and they don't realize that in their way they're going to find their way straight to a lost eternity. But even then, how many Christians have left the path and left the road because they just think that they've got a better idea and their life starts to fall apart? Also in Isaiah 55, verse 9, is the follow-up of that verse. It says this, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth," by the way, that's a long ways, right? Okay. "So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." Have you ever noticed that when you get higher above a situation, you have a greater perspective? Remember the statement, you can't see the forest for the trees when you're right in there? But all you do is get up about 50 feet up and you have a whole new perspective of what's going on. But God's perspective, God's ways are higher. He looks over the whole of the world, the whole of history, and he's got things that are happening that are of interest and significance. It's like this massive matrix, and I thought I'd like to use this little picture to sort of show this to us. But it's sort of like all of that detail, okay? And God has this major matrix that's underway. Consider all the things that he's working with and all of the details. I mean, it comes down to this, illustratively. Israel has been doing things wrong, and God says, "I need to now deal with the nation, so I'm going to send the Babylonian army over, and they're going to conquer Israel. They're going to take them back to captivity, them and the Assyrians. And then at the right time, in 70 years, I'm going to move the Medo-Persian Empire, and they're going to send the people of Israel back, and they're going to give up their slave force, and with that, they're going to actually give them resources and send them back to Israel." God's orchestrating things on a global scale. And yet at the same time, he's interested in everything that's happening in your world each day. Talk about a global matrix. God's ways are higher. He's working in another realm that we cannot begin to fathom. Overall perspective. In Psalm 18, verse 30, he says that God's ways are, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. His way is perfect. Perfect means you can't improve it. When it's perfect, it's perfect. It can be good, it can be greater, it can be very, very good, but when it's perfect, it's perfect. There's nothing to change. Proverbs 4 and verse 27 is, "Don't go to the left or to the right." God says his ways are holy, and he asks us to join him on that. That's an amazing concept. God's ways are holy. His perspective, his context is holy, And he says, I want you to be holy as I am holy. In other words, join me in this context. Isn't that something else to think of? Now, what we see here as we go through this passage and this thing we're going to illustrate about the journey is that the journey was not just a bunch of individuals. It was the nation of Israel moving together. And so there is a road and there is an individual path. There's another part to this, and that is where God wants his people to work and move as one. Now, what it was is when they came to the people of Israel, there was always a potential debate. And some resisted. And some resisted what God was leading through Moses at those points and times. And it cost them as a nation. And there's some people within our congregation who are maybe not here today, because they've moved out and left the journey with us. There's people that doubted where Israel was going. As a shepherd, I do all that I can to enable your journey. And I hope you understand that. I hope you believe it. I want your journey to be the best that it can be, as do the other pastors of this church, as do the elders of this church, as do the people who plan ministry for this church. All the things we put together, whether it's for children or teens or young adults, adults, seniors, we're working on things that we believe will enhance your journey. And as much as you take advantage of those things, is where I believe you will find God's blessing upon your life and your journey. I will teach and preach and call you to follow the Word of God and to follow Jesus. I will put forth an envisioning of where we are and where we need to go. But you can choose to wander and be on your own and find light less than the best. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, God's Word warns us that there's a time in our experience where there will be wolves, as he uses that illustration, as to sheep that will be trying to pick you off and pull you from the flock. There will be things that will come along that will be deceptive and lying, and they'll tell you about the greener pastures that when you actually get there, they're not as green as you know they thought they could be. And some have gone, and some it's too late, and then the wolves have gotten them, and it's hard. And for right now, they've departed from the road, they've departed from the path, and they're somewhere in the bush. And somehow they think it's okay. But the path and the time isn't over. To survive, I think we need to stay on the road, and we need to do it together. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 21, it says, "The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you." And the illustration is there, we are a body, and we're on this road together. There's something that God wants us to accomplish together. I'd like you to take a second and just look across the room. Just look across the room. Don't have to look at me. Look across the room at the other people in this room. Some of them you know, some you don't know. Some look fine, some look funny. Okay. God made them all the way they are, including me. But God has set this up. Do you realize that? God has set this up. You could be at any other church in Maple Ridge today, and there could be other people from there that could be here. But for some reason, God has put us together. And we need one another. And we're on this journey together, on the road, in your path, but there's still some things we're doing together. And we'll be stronger together. We're not perfect here. We're still learning. We're still growing. But all this is shown throughout the Word of God that this is how God's worked with his people. Isaiah chapter 30, 21 really summarizes it. It says, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying," in other words, a prompting. And this is what it says, "This is the way, walk in it." When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, you're going to hear that. In other words, it may be guiding, turn to the left, turn to the right, or it may be saying, if you're going to wander, and it might be saying, no, this is the way. This is the way, walk in it. I believe Maple Ridge Lions Church has a future. Our path, I believe, as God's been leading and stirring my heart, is one that we will become a place where we behold the glory of God in our experiences individually, but in our experiences a church together, to see his presence and his power moving in wonderful ways. I believe he wants us to understand the journey, life, eternity, God, the truth. He wants us to advance God's kingdom, and God is revealing what's coming next. But our journey requires faith and trust. Because if we just sort of think we're just going to jump at it, we probably will quit. But if we will believe God, it'll make the difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 10 says it this way. And this is a challenge. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. At times struck down, but not destroyed. So the journey will have those parts, also carrying in the body of the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So in other words, this journey is not just even about us, it's about Jesus being seen through us and seen in us. So this is not a faith that is just a leap into the dark. God has proven himself through the history that we have in the Bible, through the history of your own experiences, and through Christ, that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Now in faith, it requires us to trust. Now if you've ever done a long journey, let's put one out there hypothetically, some of you may have done that. Let's say if you were to drive from here to Ottawa and you have a five-year-old in the vehicle. Okay? So you get in the car, the child straps on his seatbelt as if he's got into his car many other times. He has no idea how long it is to Ottawa, right? And with that, he trusts the parents. He's back there playing, snacking, eating, sleeping, whatever. And the parents are just driving. And moves out through BC and across. Maybe you go out through Edmonton or Calgary or Regina or Saskatoon. You end up generally going through Winnipeg. You gotta go through Winnipeg. And then you keep going on and you finally make your way to Ottawa. And you get into another whole city and there's a whole bunch of streets. And you're driving around and dad, either using GPS or he knows the city, is driving around all the different places and pulls up and Uncle Barney, Aunt Betsy's house, and boom, and you're there, right? And the kid just gets out, takes a seat, oh, we're here. He had not the foggiest of where he went and how he got there. Totally trusting in dad or mom, whoever is driving or directing. But he's content for the most part in that backseat. Now, sometimes along the way, he may ask that question, are we there yet? And that's usually about hope, okay? And then you know you got a few more times to answer that question. In chapter 6, I think God understands that question. In chapter 6 and verse 4 of Exodus, Israel's groaning, and they're not happy with where they're going and how they're going to get there. And this might as well have been him saying, are we there yet? And God hung on in the midst of all the challenges, and he got them to their destination. They just needed to trust him. And you may be going through yours, and you can't see where all the roads are going. You might be even not even be able to see the road from your perspective. But your Heavenly Father is driving. And you need to just trust him. And you can ask, are we there yet? And you'll probably say, not quite. We're still on the road. But see, there's times when the people of Israel did not trust God. In fact, the people of Israel moved out of Egypt all the way through Mount Sinai and then all the way up into Kadesh Barnea, which is just on the doorstep of Canaan. And now it's time to go in. And the people come up with an idea, well, hey, let's check it out. Let's see what this is really all about. So they send out 12 spies who come back and say, you know, it's a wonderful place. Yes, beautiful. Oh, I couldn't see any better. Oh, we shouldn't go in, though, because the cities are really walled and the people are just giants. We look like ants in their eyes. And with that, they say no to the final destination that God has put together for them as a people. Refusing it, they lose the opportunity, and the result is they wander off. And it says, and that generation dies before God brings the children of that generation back to the entrance to Canaan, and they enjoy all that God has for them. You see, the people of God can miss where God is looking to go if we will not keep faith and trust what he has started. And the result of wandering off can cost us death or can cost us a lot of wasted time. Today I'd like to ask you, are you on the road? Are you staying to the path that God has laid out in front of you? How many potential people even in this room are right now are not really on the road, they're slightly just in the ditch? It's not too bad, you still see the sky from there, you still see the road. It's a little bit tougher slugging as you go there. Or maybe some of you are headed away on a tangent. In our wisdom, we can think it's so good, but we do not realize that we are in the process of getting so lost and in such danger. But God wants to keep us there. So what is it? He hasn't only just given us His Word. He's given us a deliverer and a guide. And we have that. Israel had that in Moses. And many times the people doubted Moses. And when Jesus came to this earth, a lot of people saw Him, saw the miracles, all the wonders, and still had their doubts about Jesus. They rebelled against Him, and they rebelled against God. Today, people will hear the Word of God, and they will doubt sermons and doubt pastors and deny the Word of God. And sometimes it's challenging, because some of the context we will find ourselves in, we'll say, how are we going to deal with this? It looks overwhelming. And I think God understands that. The case that I'd like to go to is Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 to 12. And this is the moment where the people of Israel have come out, and they're up against the Red Sea, and they've suddenly realized that the Egyptian army is coming down behind them. And they are really scared, and for the right reason. And this is what they say. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone so we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." It was a very serious moment. They weren't just trying to be difficult. And your experiences can probably put you in a place where you feel like, if I'd only just stayed back in Egypt. No, let's stay back where it's in bondage and pain and misery. Suddenly it looks better than dying out in the desert, doesn't it? And in that moment, life is looking horrible and they want to quit. Too many times the people of Israel said, "Let's just go back to Egypt. There was garlics and leeks and all that kind of stuff back there. It was sort of a good old time back then." And they're ready to quit on the journey. And sometimes your experience may feel very difficult. You think like, "Why did I do this? What is God doing? Where is He right now?" But these are the next two verses of that passage in chapter 14. Listen to what it says. "And Moses said to the people," here it is, "fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Wow. Talk about a major need of faith. You're not going to fight. You just got to stand there and be quiet. Other place in Scripture says, "Be still and know that I am God." And in your journey, when those moments where it's just impossible, you can't see anything but death in front of you, this is the benefit of the difference of having Jesus and God engaged in your life. See, if you're on your own and that's all coming, you're in really big trouble. But if you are by faith are doing life with God through Jesus Christ, and that's coming along, there is a resource that is much bigger than you and much bigger than your problem that is going to be there. And He says, "If you will put your faith and trust Me, you will stand still and you'll see the work of God." We know that with that, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire was with the people of Israel. Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22 puts it there. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they might travel by day and night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." So God had set up a way to let them know that they were not alone. The cloud was representative of the presence of God. Many times God showed up in a cloud. He had to do that so his presence wouldn't be too overwhelming. He was also fire, which was light. Would light up not the whole journey, but at least it would show where they were to go next. Both of them providing clear direction. But today, we have the Word of God, and it will guide you on the road. And you can pray, and the Holy Spirit will guide you on your path. And together, you will have the direction. I believe if we will want to, God will clearly show us what is next for our world. But it's still sad that there are Christians who will still bolt in wrong directions. And they run the risk of ending up with wrecked lives, struggling lives, alone, ultimately away from God, when they have all the potential of Him right there. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 is a statement of hope that the people of Israel had back at the beginning. And this is what it says. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. Do you hear that today? It's the same God that took care of His people Israel. He's the same God who takes care of this people today, the Christians, the church. And if you are part of that, may you find hope on that. He says to you today, I am the Lord. A statement establishing the fact. He is in charge. He says, I will bring you out. I will take action. Nothing will stop you if I'm moving you forward. And He says, I will remove a yoke. In other words, I will make a difference. I will free you from your slavery. You are now going to be taken away from the control of other things. And I will redeem you with outstretched arms, with mighty acts. I'm going to personally be there with you. And I will take you as my own. There is a passion that God has for you on your journey. And He's watching you. And there's things that you are spared that you never even saw were coming. How many things do that for your kids, right? You may be walking, traveling somewhere, and they're just oblivious because they're just beside you. They're keeping their eyes on you, and you are protecting them, and they don't know half of what just came by them. That's God in you. He says, I will take you as my own, and I will be your God. It will be clear. It will be identified to you and to the world that looks on. So there's the possibilities with this journey. We've come out of Egypt, and the journey is all in front of us. And you have a road, and it's clear. And that's how you're going to move the best and the fastest in the right direction. And you have the path which is unique to you, and the Spirit of God and the Word of God will look to guide you if you will seek Him for that. And I believe the Bible says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and life to the fullest. He didn't say that, just a nice thing to say. That's His intention for each one of you. But I've been talking about a journey. There's actually two journeys. There's one, that what we're talking about, is a narrow road. And there's few that find it. There's another journey, but it's going the opposite direction. It is not going to end up where this one's going. This one is headed towards heaven and all that is there. The other one is a wide road. The Bible says many are on it. That's our world. And it's leading to destruction and ultimately to hell. You cannot get to heaven on this road. If you drive from Saskatoon and you head west, you will not arrive in Halifax on the road. You're cut off by all the water and stuff in between. And if you're in Saskatoon, you go east, you can get to Halifax, right? There's a lot of people who think they can ignore the narrow road that God has put out there and say, I'm just going to take this wide one over and I'm going to get to my destination. They're fooling themselves. They will end up where they do not want to be, and they will have missed it all. So may you enjoy your journey, but may you help other people to turn from their destiny. And you'll do that because you believe in your journey. But if you don't believe your journey, you're not going to talk to them about anything. So what, do you believe your journey? Are you going to stay in the road? You see, it really comes down to that. Will we do life and follow Christ and the Holy Spirit on this journey? Or will we get off of you in our own road and waste time, end up hurt, get lost? And the glory of this message and the glory of God is in this, that God is interested in you. The one who is working this global matrix through all of history somehow has you on his radar and knows what's going on in your world. And he wants you to realize he wants to be as close as possible and to be your guide in life. Exciting to know that he's there. unsettling in my life if I ever thought of him not being there. May God move us to choose and commit to his way in Jesus. Let's stay on the road. Let's follow our path. Let's do this journey together as God's people. And if there's others who are playing around, stop. Get back on the path and follow the road. And may we together realize a great journey, and it's possible as God walks alongside of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are interested in each one of us. Thank you that you want us to win in our journey to reach the ultimate destination of eternity in heaven and all that means. For these your people, Lord, you know where they are. If there's some that even aren't on the narrow road yet, may you stir their hearts. May you move them to seek your way. If there's others who are just off the path right now or off the road, may you bring them back. But for the rest of us, thank you that you will be our guide. Help us to seek you with all our heart, to listen to your word, to follow the Spirit's promptings. May we enjoy a life that you have for us to its fullest through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.